Oh, our Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we can sing "It is well with our soul." And Lord, the only reason we can sing that is because our souls have been redeemed because of what you did. And Jesus, we thank you this morning for saving our souls. And we thank you for paying the price on the cross. And we thank you, God, that we are coming into a season where this is just front and center for so much of what we do. And God, I do pray this morning that whatever our week has given to us, Lord, that we can see you this morning. And Lord, so that however we may be going into this coming week, we can see it in a different light, the light of your Son, Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit, be here now. Move amongst us. Turn those eyes, God, from whatever they may be looking at, turn them right up to you. We just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this morning we're going to look at four important dates in history. These are what you can start filling in on your sermon notes if you'd like. It's a bright red piece of paper this morning. So the first date in history that we're going to look at is 1446 B.C. B.C., of course, stands for before Christ. The year is 1446 B.C. Israel, or God's children, are in slavery to Egypt. Now, we say that, and we could just move on very quickly, but I want to take us for a moment and just imagine what it would be like to be a slave. Picture yourself for a moment in slavery. Now, the vast majority of us in this room can't even imagine that, can't even comprehend what it would be like to be living as a nation of slaves. But for a moment, go there. That's where Israel is at this moment. God, of course, calls Moses to be their deliverer, to free them from this bondage of Egypt. And, of course, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh to say, "Pharaoh, we want to go and we want to worship God." Of course, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He said no over and over and over again. If you read Exodus chapters 1 through 12, you read the story of Moses going to Pharaoh. And then, of course, God started, through Moses, started sending plagues on Pharaoh. And Pharaoh still wouldn't let the people go. His heart was still hardened until finally the very last plague, and that was, of course, the plague of death, where an angel of death would come at midnight, and he would come right down there into Egypt, and he would kill every firstborn. And that was going to be the worst. And again, could you imagine a plague like that? Could you imagine that happening in Superior tonight at midnight? Where an angel of death would fly in, swoop into this city and kill every... I can't imagine how terrible. And says there's wails and cries like have never been heard until that point because of all the death. But God would redeem and he would save his children. We're going to read that story. This is the story of the first Passover. And again, we're remembering the Passover lamb this morning. Exodus 12, let's start in verse 1. You can go in your Bible. It's very early in the Bible, or you can read up here. Exodus 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months." God was changing their calendar. He was saying, you are starting anew. In fact, you're going to start anew, and so I'm even going to start your year and your months all over again. A picture of the newness that God was going to bring. This is the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This month would be called Nisan. Tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses. Now that 10th day is very key. We're going to come back. That is the day that the lamb was selected. The lamb was pulled out and selected on the 10th day. We'll get back to that. A lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be, this is very key, without blemish. That very important that this lamb was without blemish. It was perfect. It was a spotless lamb selected on the 10th day of the month, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Now, I want to pause for a moment. Here's what's going on. God says every household is going to take a lamb. On the 10th day of this first month, you're going to take a lamb, and this lamb's got to be perfect. And between the 10th of the month and the 14th of the month, you're going to inspect this lamb. In fact, the lamb will be consistently inspected to make sure it is perfect, without blemish, no fault, spotless. That is what this lamb needed to be, and they had 4 days to check it over. Verse 7, then they shall take, this is what's going to happen to the lamb, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat. We've talked about that. They'd take the lamb, they'd dip it, they'd put it on the lintel, which is the top, and the two doorposts. Again, making a symbol in blood of the cross. First foreshadowing picture of Jesus and the cross that he would die on is where they specifically put that blood. Then they shall, okay, verse 8, then they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. And in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, with sandals on your feet, and with staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. Here's the first words of the Passover. It is the Lord's Passover. And now he's going to describe what that word Passover means. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. This is the picture of that death that is going to invade this city. God is going to pass through the final plague. I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. Verse 13, the blood shall be a sign for you, very key, on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So what's going to happen is, when the angel of death comes flying into Egypt, he's going to notice the houses that have the blood on the lintel, on the doorpost, and then he will pass over those houses. And so this lamb's blood will be the savior of God's children that evening. And then verse 14, he's telling why he's going to do this continually. It says, this day shall be for you a memorial day. We have a memorial day to cause us to remember something that we might naturally forget. He's instituting an annual feast so that the children of Israel will not forget that God spared them that day. They would be doing this consistently in memory of the lamb and what God did. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. This is the feast of unleavened bread, or the feast of Passover. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. And for thousands of years, the Israelites have kept this as a feast. This lamb, this very first Passover lamb, was a substitute for the firstborn of all the children of Israel. It was a substitute. The lamb's death took the people of Israel's firstborn's death. Because of the death of the lamb and the blood of the lamb, that angel of death would no longer take over the children of Israel in their homes. The life and blood of the lamb would save the Israelites from their sin. And God wanted this feast to be instituted and kept forever, so they would never forget what God did. That's the first date, 1446 BC. Let's go to the next date. We're going to fast forward 1,500 years. The next date is Nisan 10, AD 33. AD is, of course, after death. Nisan is the name of the first month. It'd be like our January. But it wasn't in the time that our January is in. But Nisan 10, AD 33. This, of course, is the date of Jesus' actual triumphant entry into Jerusalem. This is the day that we celebrate and remember today. All four Gospels talk about Jesus, his riding on a donkey triumphantly into Jerusalem with the palm branches, people waving the palm branches. John chapter 12, if you read it, tells us that this is the date that Jesus rode in, the 10th of the month. If you remember from Exodus 12, 1,500 years ago, God said the lamb was to be chosen on the 10th day of the month of Nisan. That a lamb without blemish was to be chosen and selected on the 10th day. Jesus was perfectly fulfilling that part. Now, in 1,500 years, the Israelites not only had the law that they were following, they also had many traditions. Now, that just happens in church life, doesn't it? Do we have some traditions here at Bayside? Have we instituted anything that might not be totally biblical, but it's kind of traditional? Yeah, we do. And the Israelites had 1,500 years to build traditions. Well, the interesting thing about Christ is he fulfilled the law perfectly, but he also fulfilled many of the traditions that they had as well. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. What we're going to look at this morning, specifically in Nisan 10, AD 33, is how Jesus was for those 4 days between the 10th of the month and the 14th of the month, he was inspected to see whether or not he was blameless. Jesus was looked at, he was inspected, just like that lamb was. Now in Jerusalem, on that same day, Nisan 10, there was an actual lamb that came entering into Jerusalem. Because in the temple on the 14th of the month, there would be a sacrifice of that lamb. And so there was an actual physical lamb that came into Jerusalem the same day that Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. And that lamb would be paraded around the city, the actual city, for 4 days to make sure everybody could look at it to see if that lamb was worthy to be the temple sacrifice that year. And so what was going on is Jesus was perfectly fulfilling exactly what this Passover lamb would fulfill. I want to look at these three groups that inspected Jesus to see if he was spotless over those 4 days. First group is the crowd in Jerusalem. Here's the story of the Palm Sunday. Matthew 21, verse 1. First group is the crowd. Matthew 21, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Here's the palm branches. That's why we call it Palm Sunday. And the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting. Look at what they were shouting. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now it says they were shouting this. If we were outside, I might shout it this morning. They were yelling it. They were screaming it. They were praising this. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna! Praise the Lord! Hosanna in the highest. Now, the interesting thing is these are the very words that as that actual Passover lamb would be walking into Jerusalem on that day, these are the words that the crowd would traditionally speak to that lamb. So when Jesus came triumphantly in on that day, the crowd was saying, you are our King. You are our Lamb of God. You are the King that we have been waiting for. The crowd in Jerusalem identified Jesus at that moment as perfect, as blameless, and as spotless. They were saying something that maybe they didn't even realize the fullness of what they were saying. They were calling out to Jesus and saying, you are it. You are perfect. You are blameless. The crowd saw this. Second group that inspected the Lamb of God between Nisan 10 and 14 was the religious leaders. This week, I looked at everything that happened in the life of Jesus between when he came into Jerusalem and when he was crucified. Listen to the groups that tested Jesus during those 4 days. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the Herodians, the lawyers, the elders, and the scribes. In 4 days, Jesus was tested, inspected by every one of those groups. Every level of religious leadership inspected, tested, tried to trap Jesus in his words. And if you read the account of every one of those testings, Jesus answered them perfectly. And they had nothing to say. Listen to how it was put in Luke 20:26. What did they think of Jesus' responses? And they were not able in the presence of the people to catch him in what he said, but marveling at his answer, they became silent. Now that was a miracle for these religious leaders because they were always John at the mouth. Always. And they tried to test him, they tried to trap him, they tried to inspect him. And just like the crowd found him blameless, the religious leaders found him blameless. Now let's take a look at the third group that inspected Jesus. The third group is the legal system. The legal system. Jesus had multiple trials, some legal, some illegal. He was tried illegally three different ways by Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin. Those were not legal trials according to the law of that age, but he was tried legally by two people. Do you know the two people he was tried by? Number one is Pontius Pilate, and then Pilate sent him to Herod, who was the tetrarch at that time, and then Herod sent him back to Pontius Pilate. Those were the three, by two different people, three different legal trials that Jesus had before he would be crucified. Let's listen to what Pilate said about those three trials and what Jesus was worthy of. Luke 23, verse 13. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the one who had sent him to Pilate, and the rulers and the people. And he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. After examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him, and neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him." Jesus was inspected, thoroughly inspected in a legal trial, but three different times by two different people, and they came back and they said, "This man is innocent. He's blameless. He's done nothing wrong." Jesus, just like that actual Passover lamb, for 4 days was inspected to see if he was without blemish. He was fulfilling what was spoken of 1,500 years before that in Exodus 12. That when you select a lamb, he's got to be without blemish. Jesus fulfilled it perfectly. Let's take a look at the third date this morning. 4 days later, Nisan 14, AD 33. I want to focus for a moment on the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, Jesus was crucified on the 14th day of that month. He rode in triumphantly on the 10th day. 4 days later, he was crucified. This Friday, we will have a Good Friday service from noon until 1, and I would encourage you to come. We will be spending an hour immersing ourselves, reflecting on the cross, reflecting on Jesus and what he did and what he went through. I'd encourage all of us to come to that. But what I want to notice in specifically this morning is the times of day of Jesus' crucifixion. We are not going to unpack all of Christ's crucifixion. We couldn't do that. But I want to look at the times of day, seeing if he really was the Passover lamb. Let's go to Mark 15, first verse 25. All of the Gospels, by the way, talk about these times of day. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. Now, the third hour, we don't speak like that. It was kind of like the third hour of sunlight. And so the third hour would be about 9 a.m. So 9 a.m. is what we would call the third hour. Jesus was first beginning to be crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. Skip down to verse 33. Now, when the sixth hour, that of course is noon, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now, this is an odd thing, that during the time when Jesus was being crucified, darkness came over the entire land. Now, isn't that a little reflective? Doesn't that remind us that that first angel of death, who came 1,500 years ago when he came in at midnight, and it was dark, completely dark. And in many ways, this mirrors, again, mirrors that very first Passover 1,500 years earlier. Verse 34, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'Behold, he's calling Elijah.' Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down.' Then Jesus uttered a loud cry." Now the Gospel of John tells us what he uttered. He said, "It is finished." "It is finished" is exactly what he said in that moment. And he breathed his last. Think about these times for a moment. Jesus was hung on the cross. His crucifixion began at 9 a.m. and it ended at 3 p.m. The timing of Jesus' crucifixion is very clear, and the Gospels were very specific about telling us the exact timing of his death and what was happening at certain times. Now, at the same time that Jesus was being crucified, just miles away in Jerusalem, there was an eerily similar event that was going on in the temple. In the temple of God, and the Jewish traditions tell us what was going on in the temple on that day at specific hours. Now, I want to tell you what was going on in the temple at specific hours of the day. At the third hour at 9 a.m., the Passover lamb, the actual lamb, would be initially bound to the altar. And this had been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years leading up to Christ's crucifixion. At 9 a.m. or the third hour, the lamb would be bound to the altar. And then at the sixth hour or noon, the temple choir would begin to sing what's called the Hallel, which is the singing of Psalms chapters 113 to 118 three times over and over and over and over again. It was the beginning of the end for the lamb. Now, if you read Psalms 113 to 118, you can't believe how many references they are to Christ. How many references, if you read them thinking about Jesus, listen to Psalm 118, 22. The stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. So while Jesus is hanging on the cross at Mount Calvary, miles away in the temple, while a lamb is being held up, being killed, being crucified, the Passover lamb, they are singing, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. At those very moments. And then at the ninth hour, or 3 p.m., in the temple, the priest would actually kill the Passover lamb, and the priest would call out, and he'd say three words, "It is finished." Jesus fulfilled perfectly. In fact, while Jesus was hanging up on the cross, the priests in the temple were fulfilling everything that Jesus was experiencing just miles away. And they had been doing this as a tradition in the temple for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Jesus was the final Passover lamb. And he fulfilled it every way perfectly. You know that "it is finished," that phrase literally means the debt has been paid in full. Now, can I get an amen on that? The debt has been paid in full. Our sin debt, which we all have, has been paid in full. And when Jesus hung on that cross and he finally breathed his last at 3 p.m. on Nisan 14, the debt has been paid in full. Our debt, our sin debt, what we owed God because of our disobedience, has been paid in full. It wasn't paid in part, not the part like we sang about, but the whole. Amen? I want to take us to the fourth date. The fourth and final date I want to talk about is April 1st, 2012 AD. That's today. The fourth important date in history is today. Right here, right now, in just moments, we are going to remember the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. We are going to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We get to be a part of something that began 3,500 years ago in Egypt. Today, we will be a part of fulfilling what God started when he first passed over the houses of Israel and the blood was on the lintel and on the doorposts. Today, this is not a religious duty that we do. This is an opportunity that we have to continue to remember and proclaim that the debt has been paid in full. Now, this morning, we can't go back. We can't go back to 1446 BC and be in one of those houses of the children of Israel. I'm thankful. I would not want to go back to that day when the angel of death invaded. And we certainly can't go back to Nisan 10, 33 AD. I would like to go back to that day when Jesus rode in triumphantly to Jerusalem. I would like to be one of those with the palm branches, yelling out Hosanna, screaming it, yelling it, praising God because the Passover lamb was finally here. I'd like to be back that day. Now, we certainly can't go back to Nisan 14 on Calvary when Jesus Christ was being crucified. I wouldn't want to go back to that day when the debt was being paid in full, when Jesus Christ would take all of our sin, 100% of our sin, and not only ours but of this entire world, upon himself. And we can't go back to Nisan 17 AD 33 when the tomb was empty. I would like to go back to that day. But we'll talk about that next Sunday morning. Let's read 1 Corinthians 11. We are instructed to be a part of this remembrance, that Memorial Day that was set up 3,500 years ago. We are now to be a part of that remembrance. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, the Passover lamb, gave his body. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Just like that lamb's blood that saved the children of Israel when the angel of death passed over, Jesus Christ's blood covers us. Our debt has been paid in full. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This morning, we're going to remember. We're doing this in remembrance of the lamb. We're going to remember the journey that Jesus took when he initially came from heaven to earth, because that's quite a journey. Christ humbled himself. When he rode in on a donkey on that day, it was a picture of the humility of Christ. But it wasn't because he rode a donkey. It was because God became man. The sinless one became sin for the sinful one. That Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb without blemish, gave his very life so that the ones with lots of blemishes could be free and could be saved and could be one with him. We're going to remember the road that Jesus took, that journey as he did come down on a donkey, his triumphant entry in, which was the beginning of the end for him. And then we're going to remember that walk that he took in Calvary with the cross on his back. And next Sunday morning, we're going to remember the short journey that he took walking out of that tomb alive. But this morning, we remember the Lamb. I'm going to have Matt come forward and play a little bit for us. I want to encourage you to take a few moments. Take a few moments this morning and do this in remembrance of the Passover Lamb. Think about Christ and what he did. Think about the sin debt that we all had that he paid in full. If you've never received that gift of salvation, let me encourage you, you just trust that when Christ did it, he did it for you. Come to a point where you say, "You know what? I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus was my answer." Whether you've come to church many times or this is your first time in a long time, if you have never trusted in Jesus for the salvation of your soul, let today be the day of your salvation. Today. And then you will join with us as we corporately, in just a few moments, remember the Lamb. That Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, took away our sin. 1 Corinthians 5 says, "Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.